cliffcentral.com.
It's Pooza Thursday.
Yeah, good morning. Pooza Thursday. What's up, everybody? Here we are, we're live. It's the 28th of July. Good morning, Kushida.
Good morning.
What are you up to?
Nothing much. I'm just ready for Thursday and see your sleep out.
Oh, yeah. It's see your sleep out tonight. That's a biggie.
Yes.
Yeah, we're all going to be doing that. Good morning, Ben. Good morning, Mubs.
Hello.
Hi.
Good morning, Flex.
Hello.
Good morning to you, and especially to you. That's right. You know, I was talking to someone. They were telling me how shops used to be. Like, there was a shop that was called Greatermans once. I don't know. It's like, must have been kind of like a department store. And they had a lift with a person in the lift who would open the door for you. And they'd wear a shop outfit, like a uniform. They looked like a hotel bellboy, I suppose.
Wasn't this in the 1910s?
No, it wasn't even that long ago. This is the 1970s.
Wow. Right?
And they'd go,
"Hello, madam. Would you like to go to floor 3, haberdashery? Or would you prefer to go to the milliner on floor 4? If you want to do footwear, floor 6.
And
welcome to Greatermans. The lift doors will be open in a moment. In the meantime, do have some tea in our foyer, and you can watch the fashion show as the models come around wearing some of the most incredible fashions from all of our floors."
And you'd sit there, and apparently you'd have a fashion show. Every day, they'd be modeling the clothes. And then you'd go, "Oh, I quite like that outfit. Could I have that?" And they'd bring it to you while you're having tea in a box with ribbons. Huh?
It's like the days when shopping was actually an event.
Yeah, it was. It was totally an event. And the people who went to these things loved it. Who's this? Boniso, good morning.
Morning, Gareth. How's it?
What's happening?
Yeah, I'm feeling very guilty this morning.
Why?
So yesterday, it was Wednesday, right? So I got back from work and I was like, "Oh, Wacky Wednesday." So I've got 2 Wacky Wednesday burgers, 4 deals. So that means 4 burgers.
Yo.
And I smashed all 4 of them.
Oh.
Same time.
Stoot la ma fetle fetle.
So like this morning I woke up and I'm at the gym right now. I'm like, fuck, I feel so guilty.
Shame, man. You must have been really hungry to knock back 4 burgers. I mean, I can have one and I'm finished.
It just kept going and they're all just kept going until they were really nice. So I was like, wow. Fuck. Yeah.
But,
and I wanted to tell you also, I'm in Maritzburg. I saw a poster, you know those election posters?
Yeah.
My mother is running to be a councillor in Maritzburg.
Someone sent me a picture of that.
I did, yeah.
It was with you, yeah.
I emailed it to you, yeah.
That is exactly the same name as Mangoba, but it's not our Mangoba. It's a different Mangoba.
It's not our Mangoba anymore.
No.
But there's the same name and surname.
I know, and that Mangoba of yours looks, he's not as good looking as our Mangoba. So are you going to vote for him just because he's for the running for the ANC there?
No, fuck no. I actually haven't decided who I'm voting for. But I think I'm going with Ben on this one, that this election is more about service delivery. And I'm quite frankly, I'm tired of these water cuts and all this load shedding. And just as Ben, I just want shit to run.
Smart.
And I feel like, as I think you mentioned in one of your yesterday's shows.
Ben is so chuffed with himself that he's persuading people to use their brains. Look.
That's as far as Ben is going to go, is convincing me, because I'm not about to become vegan.
I'm, can we just stop this right now? I'm not vegan. For 3 months last year,
Whatever, Ben. I'm not even doing it for a day.
Oh, fuck, whatever. I'm not vegan. Can we drop this, please?
No, but you got me in the DA vote, Ben. I'm going with you with that one.
All right. Hey, Sponiso, tell me, when. What is Maritzburg like at the moment? Is it a nice place to live?
It's part of it's a mess. I live in Scottsville, right? So it's not as dramatic as other locations, because remember, in the past couple of months, I think about five already ANC councillors have been shot and killed in Maritzburg, and they're all ANC councillors, so it's just ANC on ANC violence.
Right.
Not as much in this neighborhood that I'm living in Scottsdale, because pretty much DA is a pretty much DA kind of neighborhood.
Mm.
So it's not as dramatic as it is. But in the past couple of weeks, I know the president of Jay-Z is supposed to be in Maritzburg one of these days for one of his election rallies.
Oh, yeah?
And there's a picnic on the weekend. So it's very busy ANC-wise. ANC is pulling out all the stops. ANC in Maritzburg to try and... They have been literally dewillering people here in Maritzburg.
Yeah, well, can you imagine, Sponiso, can you imagine being such a useless human being that you would rather risk your life by running for political office than get an actual job?
It's so scary, but that's, I feel like most people are just, this is like they're literally their last hope. They're like, fuck it, I'm going to ANC, and if they happen to make it up the ranks, other people who have been in the party for the longest time who haven't made it to the ranks get angry and they kill them.
Yeah. Yeah,
it's scary.
It's so disappointing that people can't just vote for someone they like, or if they're in the party list lower down, work harder to get further up. Why are people must shoot each other?
They wouldn't be politicians if they thought like that, Garrett. They have to.
That's true.
They have to think in a very crude and angry and violent way.
Right.
Those are the makings of a politician, unfortunately.
Shame, 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 shame we shame, say. Shame.
Yeah.
Shame,
oh, yeah, and shame we speaking say. Of Robert Mugabe, congratulations on being enemy number one of Zimbabwe.
Now, how do you like that, huh? I thought it was Pastor Evan Mawarire. It turns out it's me.
No. You enemy number one, guys. And you're white, so you're in deep shit, my man.
Yeah, I better watch out. Thank goodness I don't have any important meetings in Zim in the next few weeks.
Because you can't. You can't go there at all because you might not even come back.
Even Theo and Aleph from the football show yesterday said to me afterwards, if you go there, Harare Airport rendition straight to Chikurubi Prison.
I'm pretty sure they have your picture, like your face picture, like all over the news and everything.
Right.
You know how they do it in the movies.
And
you better not.
I will be called a Western sympathizer and regime change person.
We had not attacked Britain. We had not done anything to Britain.
All right. Okay, dude. Thanks.
I gotta go now with this fucking Wacky Wednesday protocol.
Yeah, go and do some exercise. Get rid of that fat around your belly.
I'm actually very small. I'm just feeling very guilty.
Do me a favor. Stick your stomach out right now. stick it out as far as you can, and be ashamed. Be very ashamed. All right.
Okay. I promise you, by the end of the day, it's going to be gone.
All right, dude. Cheers.
All right. Bye.
Bye. Hey, Anonymous. Good morning.
Hey, dude. How are you doing?
Good. What's up?
I'm phoning from Atlanta.
Atlanta, Georgia?
Yep, Atlanta, Georgia, Gareth.
What's happening there? What are you up to?
I messaged you from New York last week.
Okay, yeah. What's happening, man? What are you doing in America?
To a titty bar. Right
a titty
now.
Bar?
Yep.
Nice. Apparently,
in Atlanta, this is what you do. You go to a titty bar.
Do you know what the titty bar is called that you're going to?
Yes, Cheetah Lounge.
Ah, nice.
Ah, nice.
All right.
Have you been?
No, I haven't been.
Uh-oh,
dude, we're getting some feedback on this line. I'm going to have to go. Plus, we've got to get to news. Do me a favor. Call us again a little bit later.
Cool, man.
All right, dude. There we go. I hate it when I start hearing myself. Let's get into the news with Mabale Moloi. It's 4:15, in fact, it's 6:18. If you are up and about and you want to know what's happening in the world, you have joined us at just the right time.
La 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 la
ba,
la,
ba, la, ba, la, ba. La. Beautiful.
Last night, while surfing TV channels, I stumbled on I suppose ENCA have been holding these talks with all the different political parties leading up to the elections. Yeah, yeah. Did you see any of that?
No, but I do believe they've spoken in, they've done a Joburg one, they've done a Tshwane one.
Last night they were in Nelson Mandela Bay.
Oh.
And they had the ANC, the DA, the UDM and the EFF. Can I just say that the politicking is out of control. All four political parties were just as bad as each other. I mean, at one point, the ANC guy pulled out because the DA had challenged them about how, you know, they're not doing enough for employment. So then the ANC guy pulls out two T-shirts, and it's an ANC T-shirt and a DA T-shirt. And he says, there isn't much difference between these two. No, he says the biggest difference between these two shirts, you might think, is that one is ANC and one is DA. And he said, but actually the biggest difference is that the ANC T-shirt was manufactured here in PE, the DA T-shirt made in China. And it was just like,
wow.
Like it was that kind of politicking. It was insane.
But that's quite a clever move.
Is it?
I think so.
Because it got a huge response from the crowd,
sure,
right? Because he was trying to make the point that...
Because the only people who pitch
DA,
for these...
Where are you creating these jobs? The only making people your T-shirts in China.
The only people who pitch for these dumb political conversations are unemployed people because they've got the time.
It was held at a university yesterday. I can't remember which university.
Yeah, like I said, unemployed
like
people.
A lot of students in the crowd, but then, you know... But it was just very interesting, the level of debate. And after watching about an hour of that, I thought that all four of those political parties were just as bad as each other. Just as bad.
So
you might have had four Donald Trumps on the stage. It was insane.
Oh, man.
Who created your ass? I come in the name of Jesus by the power of the Holy Spirit.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so we'll start with the SABC yet again because Claudio Motsoeneng has now thrown in the towel, okay?
What?
Yeah, well, he's real. No. It's not like that.
Oh, I thought like he's quit.
No, he's not quit or anything like that. Just that all those journalists that they decided to get rid of are now going to be reinstated because, you know, they were in the middle of court proceedings. And then the Labour Court came back yesterday and said, no, four of these journalists have to be reinstated. The other journalists' fate was still to be determined. And then yesterday, the SABC released a statement and they said, okay, fine, everybody can go back to work.
So they had to do a massive climb down. I mean, that's embarrassing because they were so full of themselves and so sure that they were on the right side of this thing.
The statement was, of course, released through the SABC spokesperson, Kaiser Kanyago, and part of the statement read, the South African Broadcasting Corporation management has instructed its legal team not to proceed with further legal action, and the SABC will reinstate the seven dismissed news employees.
Mm-hmm.
He added, the SABC remains committed to fulfilling its public service mandate.
No, it isn't. You've just been told by the court to do it. If you were committed, you wouldn't have to be told by the court.
Exactly, Gareth.
Yes, these people are so full of shit. I mean, how can you say that with a smile on your face? Like, oh, we're fully committed to this. You're not. If you were fully committed, you wouldn't need to have a high court judge tell you that you're wrong. We could see that. We see you.
we see right through you.
Yeah. How dare you? How dare you treat us like the idiots you are? All right. What else?
So the two tornadoes that were the one in Tembisa and then the other one in Magaliesberg, or the one that started in Magaliesberg, it's, you know, it's kind of had South Africans a little bit... shook up because we're not used to this kind of thing. And so the question has been raised, do you live along South Africa's tornado belt? It's good to know if you do, right?
We have a tornado belt now, do we?
Apparently we do, Gareth. Wow. Remember yesterday I told you that the South African Weather Service had said in the event of thunderstorms, tornadoes are more likely. And so they've released even more data, and they say that most tornadoes in South Africa are observed in Gauteng, the Free State, KwaZulu-Natal, along a line from Pietermaritzburg to Ladysmith, and then also the Eastern Cape.
Huh.
Some 65% of the South African tornadoes are classified as F-naught.
What is that?
I don't know. I suppose it's the one that causes the lightest damage. Interestingly, the tornado from earlier this week, they still haven't determined what scale, like how big the scale of that tornado is, you know, in terms of giving it a reading, so to speak. But yes, most tornadoes are observed in those parts that I've just mentioned, if, you know, in South Africa. So that's just, that's interesting to know.
Okay. All right. Well, I didn't know we had a tornado belt.
I didn't know we have a tornado belt, but we do.
Sure.
And then that 80 something odd million rand that was won in the lotto.
Yeah, what a powerful win. The guy gets, it's, I think it's 85 million and he lives in Limpopo somewhere. It's a he or a she. We're not even sure.
Well, this is exactly it, is that we don't know who this person is.
Good.
Because
let's hope they stay quiet.
Because this person hasn't come forward to claim his or her millions.
Uh-oh.
87.6 million rand.
87.6, yes.
Has not been claimed yet. On Tuesday, Ituba Group Chief Executive Charmaine Mabuza and her team came together to celebrate the biggest jackpot win since the game was launched back in 2003.
Wow.
But the winner is conspicuous by their absence because they haven't come forward yet. So Mabuza said, we're just very happy. The winner really has to come through because we can't wait to meet them, they said.
I reckon the winner's dead.
You reckon someone's killed the winner?
Someone's killed the winner already. This savage world we live in, that person's dead. Yeah.
Wow.
That person's like, yeah, I won. Dead.
Wow, it's possible.
Yeah.
Don't they also release the shop that sold the winning ticket? Because as far as I know, that shop gets a percentage of the winnings for basically selling the winning ticket.
Huh. That doesn't seem right.
That doesn't seem right.
No, I'm pretty sure that's right.
No, it just doesn't seem... Like, I don't understand why they should get a percentage of the winnings, is what I'm saying.
Yeah, they're just selling lotto tickets. It's what they do every day.
It's what they do every day. Yeah. But you're absolutely right, Flex. So the winner bought a 20 Rand quick pick ticket. This person bought the winning ticket just an hour and 15 minutes before the draw. And it was bought at a global filling station in Marulaneng, which is a village in Mokopane, about 60 kilometers from Polokwane. Maybe this person doesn't know that they've won.
Yeah, well, they must just track all people that were murdered over the weekend in that village. And
they'll find the ticket in someone's pocket.
Yeah,
I'd love to know how it works. If it's just this machine prints off one central database, or they're like, okay, let's pinpoint that place and let's give them the winning ticket.
Well, they don't know Flax. This is not a conspiracy theory. They print tickets with random numbers on them.
That you pick.
And you actually pick the numbers sometimes, but they're also those ones with quick pick where you just let the machine decide, yeah. Right? You buy a ticket, then they only find out what the numbers are going to be when they roll the balls, remember?
Sorry, yeah. I never watched the lotto once.
Yeah, well, I'm helping educate you here because you think everything's a conspiracy.
Just one, isn't there some kind of isn't there some kind of mechanism that alerts you when you've won? But how could they be, you know, like it would be nice to get an SMS, congratulations, you've just won 87.6 billion rand.
Wow,
but
they
wouldn't have your number.
Then if
know?
You could fit that on the screen. You know, I don't understand why we still have to buy the actual tickets. Surely they can do digital ones. I mean, everybody's got a phone now, right? Even if it's a Nokia 3310.
They do. What do you mean by digital ones?
Well,
I mean,
you think
if you
like the global one, right?
Yeah.
If you want to play the global thing.
Yeah.
You don't get a ticket sent to you.
You don't get a paper ticket.
No, but if you log on to, for example, online banking on FNB, you can play digitally. You can purchase. Yeah.
But I mean, all of it should be digital. They shouldn't have to sell you a ticket.
All of it. I see.
You know, on your phone, they give you a code or whatever, and there we go. You've got your ticket. It's on your phone. And then when you do win, it'll be easy to track you down because they'll have your phone number and hi. imagine that call, Mubs.
Okay.
And your phone rings.
Hello, is that Miss Malloy?
Yes, it is.
We've got wonderful news for you.
Tell me.
You've won 87.5 million rand.
What would your first thing do? You'd be.
I'd hang up the phone.
What would your first thing
phone.
Be that you would do?
I'd hang up the phone and scream for a minute.
Who would be the first person you would tell?
My parents.
Yeah. Who would you tell, Ben?
Us, everyone on the show.
Oh, you would? Mm. You would say it on...
No, you know what I would try to do? I would try to keep it a secret for as long as possible.
By the way, Ben is having trouble with his mouth this morning.
Why?
I hate my life. I would try to keep it a secret as long as possible. And
we went to the dentist yesterday, and the dentist has inserted some wire into his bottom jaw.
Which is essentially easy. It's hurt into my lip.
Ugh.
But I thought you were done with that whole...
I know. And I thought this world was a better place.
I thought you were finished as well. I really
exactly.
thought...
Exactly, one more month.
Shame, Ben.
Sorry.
So what you were saying is keep it a secret as long as possible.
As long as I could, because it'd be kind of fun. Like, you'd have a shit day or something, and you go, oh, well, 86 million.
Yeah.
It'd be kind of funny to try to keep it a secret.
Yeah.
That will kill you.
I wouldn't tell anyone. No one. Not even family. I'd just start giving extravagant gifts to people.
For no reason, yeah.
And if they asked me, I'd say, I'm just feeling very frugal today.
Look, you'd have to tell someone, right? So maybe a good person to tell is your financial advisor.
maybe.
Oh, by the way, this happened.
I don't have a financial, do I? Yeah, I suppose I do.
An accountant, yeah. A lawyer. Yeah, you'd have to let one of those people know.
Right. Lindsay says, anyone else being harassed daily by phone calls from political parties? I get calls every day from the DA and the ANC. It doesn't help blocking the numbers because they just keep phoning from a different number.
Yes.
Pashita was saying yesterday she was getting calls.
I'm getting calls all the time. I'll be sitting there with Dorian, producer Kat, and Musi will just call me randomly.
He just can't stop that, Musi.
He just can't stop.
Wow. I suppose some people like that. I don't imagine who, but would you like to? Can you imagine a world where you'd want to hear from a political party? I mean, suppose if you're a very lonely person who never has anyone call you. Oh my God, Musi called me himself. I've got to vote DA. Michelle says, when I was young, my mom and I used to go to Greatermans in Pretoria as a treat for lunch on a Sunday. Very stylish.
What did they sell? What did they do, this Greatermans?
Clothing.
Oh, you said. Oh.
Yeah.
Stylish clothing.
Clothing and confection it is.
Ooh.
Come to our delicatessen.
Wow.
Ladies, remember, no gentlemen allowed on floor 14. It's where we keep the female delicates.
Oh.
Which was a euphemism for panties and bras. Yes.
The delicates on floor 18.
And no men would be allowed on that floor.
Oh, no. I mean,
can you imagine?
Lest they lose their control.
Exactly. A gentleman would behave very badly on floor 18, so we keep him away.
Yeah.
Leanne says Greatermans is what we today know as Stutterfords.
Okay.
There we go. See, you learn something new every day. Mm. And then Dudley sent me a picture of a man with his neck craned looking at his cell phone. And a Pokemon's Pikachu on his neck riding him, which is the story of the modern man.
The takeover of the Pokemon.
That's right.
They're enslaving them.
Right. The Pokemon are taking over the world. Okay, is there anything else, Mubs, or should we get to Ben?
Let's get to Ben, Gareth.
All right, Ben, it's your turn.
All right, 8 days until the Olympics. And the question has to be asked, how comfortable is the LGBT community? And the Olympics. Sorry, this thing is literally
tearing up your mouth.
It's tearing up my mouth. I'm going to sue this guy, seriously. Every time I go see him, he's all like, hey, happy day, everything's
He
so
sounds
casual.
Like a sadist. I've got to be honest with you, he does not sound like a nice person.
He tells me it's 6 months, now it's 8 months, 9 months, and now I literally have a wire in my mouth. So, 8 days until the Olympics. Bear with me. I'll try to be as efficient as I can with my mouth movements.
All right.
So, reports suggest there are about 500 gay athletes at the Olympics.
500 gay athletes?
But nearly all of them are closeted gays. So, there's a big thing around the Olympic movement is it doing anything for the LGBT community?
Yeah.
And the answer is kind of no, Gareth. Although, numbers are on the rise. So, in Beijing, there were 12 outwardly open gay people out of 10,708 athletes. London Olympics, it increased to 23 athletes were openly gay. And now they're expecting around 30 at the Olympics now in Rio.
You know, I suppose it's because a lot of these gay people come from countries where they would kill you if they found out that you were gay.
Mm. Well, exactly. So, speaking of being killed for being gay, Brazil actually has a pretty dodgy track record of that. They say every day an LGBT person is killed.
Really?
Sons are beaten senseless by their dads, trying to be beaten straight. And there's all that corrective rape culture as well there. So one of the other issues that, like, we didn't have enough issues for the Rio Olympics is how are they going to deal with the LGBT community? And is it something that they even care about? The Olympic movement has so many different facets of things that they need to take care of and look at, because it's meant to be the games that unite everyone, right?
Yeah.
We all know LGBT people, it's a big deal nowadays, big rights thing.
Mm.
And the Olympics is kind of in the dark as well, and this is to another issue.
Shit, it's so horrible. I don't know why people can't let people be who they want to be.
Yeah, it is very difficult. So as many as 500 gay athletes are still closeted and they will not come out because of what it might distract from their being at the Olympics and how they'll be treated once at the Olympics and as gay. Very difficult situation that. 8 days, though, until the start of these games, the games that Vladimir Putin says will be tarnished because there are less Russian athletes.
Yeah, well, in other words, they won't be tarnished because they're less Russian athletes.
Exactly. Take that one, Vladimir. Put it in your golden toilet. You know he does have a golden toilet.
Does he?
On his plane, he's got a golden toilet.
Gold.
Yeah. He shits on a golden toilet.
I'm not even surprised, though.
Wow. That's such an F you to the world, yeah, isn't it?
Kind of. In football news, Gareth, a very interesting night for Sundowns last night.
Yes.
So, you know Sundowns, they are obviously the PSL champions here in SA.
Uh-huh.
And they got knocked out of both continental tournaments. So the Champions League and the Confederations Cup, whatever it's called.
Uh-huh.
But then because some team lied and were devious and had ineligible players and that kind of stuff, they got thrown back into the Champions League.
Yeah.
And surprise, surprise, at the end, well, they've already qualified for the semi-finals. So last night they had a 1-0 win over Zamalek. Zamalek put the ball in their own net, which of course never a good idea when you try to beat a team. And they are top Group B.
Wow.
So 3 games, 3 wins, 9 points. They've got one more game to go against Inyumba, but it matters not. They're already in the semi-finals of the CAF Champions League.
Fantastic.
This is a really massive deal because even though the season hasn't really finished, so the players must be kind of worn out in stages. They've taken on a few new sponsors, they've got a few new faces. But if they can somehow get this, the money they get is huge for an African team.
Uh-huh.
Absolutely massive. So they'll make them even stronger, perhaps, as they look to defend their APSA Premiership title this coming season. So there we go. Sundowns in the semi-finals of CAF Champions League. Good on you. Super Rugby this weekend will have this semi-final, speaking of semi-finals, and it is the Lions who everyone is cheering for right here in South Africa, of course.
Uh-huh.
Now, they have had a good season where they've scored lots and lots and lots and lots of tries. They're now taking on the might of the defending champions, who are the Highlanders. So the Highlanders have an up-and-down season in comparison, and of late they've had kind of a lot of travel issues. Well, not issues, but they've had to travel a hell of a lot. So combine that with a few losses at home and a relatively slow start to the season, you've got to think that potentially the Lions are the overwhelming favourites here. Now, I use the word overwhelming sparingly in sport because, well, you can never have anything as a given. But if you look at how the Lions have gone about the season, right, quick snapshot between the two teams. The Lions have scored 71 tries. The Highlanders have scored 50 tries. So they're a bit more attacking. They definitely scored more in the matches, but they've obviously played weaker opposition.
Uh-huh.
The New Zealanders they play against, New Zealanders all the time. Tackles made, 128 to the Lions, 191 to the Highlanders. So that means the Lions have had more ball and have definitely guarded the ball better and haven't had to defend as much. Scrums won, 113 to 86. Lineouts won, 163 to 171. So the Lions are good in set pieces. You know the defense is maybe the least favorable attribute, but their attack is just so damn good. In regulation play this season, the Highlanders gave the Lions a bit of a clap down in the Greenhouse Stadium of theirs in Dunedin. But uh-huh. I think that's just, there's no point looking into that. There really isn't. The Lions are a much better side, as they showed last week against the Crusaders, because they lost to Crusaders in regulation play as well. And, well, they had a big win last week. The other semi-final, and one they'll be very eagerly watched by all South African fans, because we want to kind of see a Super Rugby final in Johannesburg here at the Lions. Now, for that to happen, the Chiefs had to beat the Hurricanes. So the Chiefs are very good. They've won a few titles in previous years. They are a very exciting team. They scored 68 tries this season.
Huh.
The Hurricanes, well, last year they were kind of faultless, and then suddenly they lost the final against the Highlanders. Very unexpected there. Now, they've got a really great side, the Hurricanes, and their form right now is amazing. And the fact that they've got a guy like Julian Sevier who can't even make the starting lineup right now, they have lots and lots of talent. So 61 tries for the Hurricanes, 68 for the Chiefs. Penalties conceded, 1-4-8 for the Hurricanes, 1-4-1 for the Chiefs. Discipline is a bit of an issue with these sides,
uh-huh.
but very even. As the lineouts won, they've kind of won the same. Scrum on is also very even. So it's going to be a battle of discipline, I reckon. Yellow cards have gone between these two teams before. It's going to be a local derby where there'll be lots and lots of running rugby. Dane Coles, now this is the one probably big factor for this match, is that Dane Coles is going to be playing with the rib protector by the sounds of things. He is the best hooker in world rugby. He's an incredible player.
So they can't do without him, so they put him on the field in a rib protector.
They can't do without this dude. He didn't finish the quarterfinal against the Sharks.
Yeah.
He went off. He literally was taken to hospital in an ambulance.
Shame.
So if he plays, big thing. If he plays sore, though, the players obviously know this. They're like sharks with blood. They'll know exactly where he's sore, and they'll just blitz him as much as they can.
Yeah, they smell weakness.
Indeed. So it'll be very interesting. If Dane Coles is not going to be the feature, he is certainly, I would say, the Chiefs side have a very, very, very good chance on top of already being very competitive. And of course, they had 60 points over the Stormers last week, but they have had the issue of having to travel back from South Africa, which isn't ideal and does hinder your preparation somewhat. So those are your Super Rugby fixtures for the weekend. Your big semi-finals, 9:35 Saturday, Hurricanes versus Chiefs, and 3 o'clock Lions versus the Highlanders. If you want to go watch the game, lionsrugby.co.za, you can get tickets on that one if you are in the Gauteng area, and it's so going to be worth it. Tickets will be slightly more expensive than usual because it's a semi, but I think when you look at what it costs a Witches Murrock match, it's 600 around there, 600, 700. For about 350, you get a really, really, really good seat, and for about 80 to 100, you could probably sit with someone who is very drunk and smelly. So not bad, depending on what you really want to do. Yeah, cricket, Ben Stokes' calf injury means he's officially out of the third test between Pakistan and England. In other cricket news, well, Australia-Sri Lanka match, it was rain delayed, low scoring, and it's interesting to see how this tour goes, because you got to think Australia are such overwhelming favourites, and even now, Sri Lanka 22-2 after posting a feeble 117. So Sri Lanka are 64 runs behind, 8 wickets in hand. Not looking like they're going to come close to winning this one. But will the rain stay away so there can be enough play? In cycling,
yes.
We all know that the Tour de France is a well-oiled machine of a race, and that you've got teams that know what they're doing. Chris Froome is part of the best team in cycling because Sky, well, they're the richest team as well, and they've got a good history on this. They kind of are, they've taken over where the US postal team used to ferry Lance Armstrong around France. Now it's the same with Chris Froome. So there's been confirmation there was no motors used during the Tour de France this year, which is very, very exciting. The
fact and these motors
no
would have
technical
been.
Technical fraud.
But these would have been so tiny.
Yeah. Best they would have maintained your rhythm. They wouldn't have exactly had you powering up hills.
No.
Just meant that you would have maintained your speed. But I found something quite interesting. As small little children, it's probably the first time you'll hear small little children on the sport, they asked some of the Team Sky people some interesting questions around bike riding and what it's about.
I saw you running up the mountain. Did you forget it was a bike race?
It's talking to Chris Froome, because you know he ran up the mountain, his bike broke.
Oh, right. I saw you running up the mountain. Did you forget it was a bike race?
I didn't forget. The thing is, my bike wasn't working very well at that moment, so I had to just run.
You have to stand on the podium and kiss girls. How gross is that?
That's one you'll grow to like a little bit more when you get older.
You have a wild chat, Stu, in the race. What do you talk about?
We're talking business, talking about the race, what we're going to do, when we're going to attack, and sometimes just talk about food or girls.
Who's your favourite girl?
My wife has to be. Who's yours?
My man.
Good answer.
Do you get fed up when you go up the front when it's windy?
Why, yeah, especially when Froomey sat behind, you know, telling us what to do all the time.
Do you ever do a fart so they all have to smell it?
When G's behind me all the time.
Do you like being bossy?
I like being bossy.
Oh, this is great.
Yeah, it's a great video. I'll put it on social media after this. It's little kids interviewing various people from the Team Sky.
That's very cool.
Yeah. So, Gareth, before we get into the final story, which is the golf, which starts today, Nick Kyrgios, right?
Kyrgios, he's that Kyrgios. Horrible guy.
He's that, he's that dipshit Australian tennis player, right?
Okay, let me give him the intro.
Well, Kyrgios has been saying how he's just more into Pokemon Go than he is the tennis, right?
He's seriously?
A series of tweets. Wow. So, like, I'll read some of the tweets out. He said, just quietly, how good is Pokemon Go? Honestly, playing that more than tennis. True story, I get more excited about an egg for an egg to hatch than a breakpoint conversion. So he went into the Toronto Masters, right? It's the current tournament they're all playing right now. And he said on Twitter, I might drop an incense while I'm playing in Toronto. Change of end, see what it brings in. So he's mouthing off about this whole how it's so great to play Pokemon Go.
Uh-huh.
First round, he plays a 17-year-old guy called Dennis Shapovalov, and he loses to this dude.
Oh, no. So he really is distracted by Pokemon Go.
Yeah. So naturally, people there, what do they do? On Twitter, they just throw a massive shade at him. So this one person says, eat, sleep, Pokemon Go, lose to a 17-year-old in the first round. Someone else says, you're a disgrace. You look disinterested today. Poor attitude. And then you say you're worried about Pokemon. You're an embarrassment.
Hey, pull your pants up!
Yeah, so this isn't going so well for Kikrios.
Shame.
But he really is. He just says, I couldn't be asked anymore. When he lost to Murray at Wimbledon, he said, like, this is pathetic. I'm just not interested in all this kind of stuff. And he's just all over the Pokemon Go.
Nick Kyrgios. Yeah, well, this guy's... I mean, he's been... Nobody really likes him, right?
No.
He's just... He's one of those people who just says horrible things. And
well,
he...
I can't even confirm if he's friends with Kokkinakis anymore.
Oh, of course there was Kokkinakis.
Yeah. Or maybe they play Pokemon Go together. Who knows?
Yeah.
Okay, so today, the PGA Championship starts, right? Yes. And this is a very, very exciting thing because it is the final major of the year. It's the final massive sort of tournament where all the pros want to win this one. From here, it's like you get the money event, which is the FedEx Cup. You get the Ryder Cup, which is obviously select to few players. And then there's the Olympics, all the ones that don't want children or the ones who are just honest and good, nice people. So, PGA Championship at Baltus Roll.
Baltus Roll, which you told us about yesterday. Yeah. What a sad story, Baltus Roll.
Now, the unique thing about this tournament is that it's got club pros. So Johan Kok from Nelspruit will be playing in this one.
Oh,
how about that? Nelspruit's got something to cheer about this weekend.
That never happens.
Their very own Johan Kok will be playing there with all the big stars like Rory McIlroy, Dustin Johnson.
And Johan Kok.
What a lovely story.
Okay.
So yesterday I was talking about the fact that this is all set up so beautifully for Rory McIlroy to win. He's had a bit of a dodgy time of late, but he's won two of these PGA Championships so far. He's won them in even years. We're in an even year. Jason Day, as always, looks like he's got a bit of a sick note around this one. And Dustin Johnson, you've got to ask the question, is he mentally ready to win another massive title? The guy's had a tough year. He's pulled out of the Olympics, but still, I just think there's going to be someone else. This year so far, every major winner has won a major for the first time. We had Danny Willett somehow winning the Masters. No one expected him to do that. And then you had Dustin Johnson winning the US Open. Everyone kind of expected he would win one eventually. And then Henrik Stenson won the Open. So, to look at the biggest sort of players outside of that who have not won a major yet, you've got Sergio Garcia, you've got Ricky Fowler, you've got Patrick Reed and Brandon Grace. According to the European Tour, who had a poll, Sergio Garcia came up tops as winning this one. But if Sergio Garcia wins a major, well, I just think that it'll then rain locusts. This guy is a bit of a tool, and he's just always going to be one of those dudes who comes close but never wins. He makes top fives, but he essentially can't putt very well. So I still don't think he's a good enough bet. They keep going about the fact he's a good ball striker. But that's like saying you've got a nice personality, or you're really funny if you're a girl. People are just skirting around the issues that no one really wants to be with you. So good ball striker, you don't become a professional golfer unless you can strike the ball well. It's one of those things. Just don't even pay any heed towards it. I will say, though, that if you were to look at a first-time winner, Brandon Grace is looking quite good. He's had a bit of a quiet year by his own standards, but the guy's, he's SA's best talent. Patrick Reed, definitely, he's someone who's been there and abouts. Whether he can keep his temperament together for the full 72 holes. And I was going to say Brooks Koepka would be a huge favorite for this tournament, but he picked up an injury. That said, though, he has a good record at this tournament. He had a top five at the US Open. So if he can somehow master his physical ailments, look out for that dude as well. But look out for Johan Kok.
I think that's
a big
good
story here.
Hey, Kerry, what's up? Kerry? Is she there, Flex? What's going on?
I think she hung up.
Oh, okay. Well, then she shouldn't hang up. She should have patience and wait until the end of the sport. Go ahead, Ben.
Yeah, that's pretty much it.
Okay.
We've got Super Rugby for the weekend. I'll get more into the weekend fixtures and what to look out for as of tomorrow.
All right, it's time for Anthea Gardner and the Money Shot.
Why say we let such a letter? Anthea Gata, such a letter. Anthea, why say we let such a letter? Omotware Hante. Anthea, why say we let such a letter?
Hey, Anthea.
Anthea Gata.
What's happening?
Yeah, a nice positive day on the market yesterday. Yeah. Trading was a bit cautious ahead of the US Fed decision last night. They decided to keep rates unchanged. But they did make a comment that suddenly has raised the odds on a September rate hike. So I think the market will react to that. It might cause the rand to be slightly weaker today. Actually, it'll be the other way around. It'll be the dollar that's stronger. So, of course, the rand weaker.
Okay, because we've had a pretty good run of that.
Exactly. Right? You can't expect too much.
No.
We've got the Bank of Japan tomorrow and Bank of England next week. But Japan have already said yesterday that they're looking to add $265 billion worth of stimulus. So that should keep the markets positive for a while. I see the Japanese 10-year government bond has gone into negative yield. So I think this is good for emerging markets because you're not going to buy a bond and then have to pay the government to hold your bond, you know. So you want yield if you're an investor. And South Africa, I've told you before, is the 10-year is trading closer to 8%, somewhere around there.
Right.
So that will be nice for us. And then UK GDP was out yesterday, 2.2%, which was better than expected. I don't think investors are going to put too much on that, though. They still are watching to see what the impact of Brexit is going to be. Not good, but not hugely market positive.
Well, it's so interesting that you bring up the Brexit. I mean, there are two headlines that I saw. The one is from The Guardian, which says that post-Brexit economic collapse inevitable. And the other one was from The Telegraph that says post-Brexit bounce inevitable. Just shows you that it entirely depends on your point of view as to whether or not something's going to happen. It's got nothing to do with the facts.
Well, nobody knows what the facts are.
Yeah.
So how do you know how much it's going to cost?
That's true.
We don't even know if they're actually going to pull the trigger, it seems.
Right.
They really are stalling.
Is that your Skype or is it mine making all that noise?
I can't hear anything.
Okay, it's ours. There are a whole lot of people joining in. All right, carry on, Anthea. Sorry.
Okay, and then local company news. Spur put out a trading update yesterday to the end of June. Sales increased by 13% to 7 billion rand. The group has now opened 74 more outlets in South Africa and 10 internationally. But that number includes the 33 Rocco Mama's outlets because they bought Rocco Mama's, the burger place, last year, March.
Right.
I think it was March. And then it also includes the 8 restaurants that they closed in the UK and Ireland during the year. And it really just speaks to their strategy that they are focusing very much more on Africa and Australia. And they now have 575 outlets, of which 58 are outside of South Africa. So I think still very resilient, surprisingly so, considering what's happening in the consumer market at home.
But yeah.
Yeah, I think investors will like this share. Okay, so one the market doesn't like, Ellie's. It was down 30% yesterday. They released a statement saying that revenue for the year fell slightly to 1.6 billion rand and that their loss before interest, tax, depreciation and amortization actually narrowed to 203 million rand. The market's still not liking it, not at all. They didn't declare a dividend, but I'm not surprised. I suspect that every bit of cash they generate, they are going to have to hang on to.
Wow,
it's really just not a good news story. Yeah?
No, it's gone so badly for Ellie's and all in the wake of this digitization thing, which just didn't happen.
Yeah.
You know,
really.
Talk about a bad bet. Whenever you bet on government competence, you're really taking your life in your hands.
Yeah, and that has shown with Ellie's, right? This
correct.
Delay in the set-top boxes.
Because if Minister Faith Mutambi had her head screwed on right, this would have all happened and Ellie's would have done very well.
But unfortunately not.
Wow, would I be upset if I was at if I was on the board of Ellie's and Faith Mutambi walked past?
I think there's a good lesson in this for CEOs and business people, I think. Hey?
Do not rely on government ministers for anything whatsoever because your share price will tank.
Yeah.
All right. Well, there
but on the flip side, Gareth,
yeah?
Sibanye Gold put out an incredible statement yesterday. This is just crazy. Headline earnings per share, they said, are going to be up between 484 and 611%.
Sure.
That's just a ridiculous number.
That is something unreal. How did that happen?
Yeah. Okay, I'll tell you in a minute. But hang on, that's headline earnings number. Let's normalize it a little bit. And then if we do that, we take into account the write-down of the Cook 4 mining assets, and that was a value of 820 million rand. But even with the write-down, earnings per share will increase by over 111%. So, a couple of things. One, I think they were a little bit lucky. They got a nice tailwind. For the period, they received a 31% higher average rand price of gold. But fundamentally, the crux of the matter is that actually their gold production increased from 22,200 ounces to 23,000 ounces. And the big thing is that we were expecting an average all-in sustainable cost of $950 per ounce. They produced at $920 an ounce, which doesn't seem a huge amount, $30 an ounce. But actually, because of the leverage operating, it adds up hugely. And remember, I was trying to explain to you the other day how with these gold companies, if they just get a small increase in the gold price because they've contained costs so well, that leverage that they have is phenomenal. And there you go, the proof of it.
That's very, very interesting, huh?
Mm.
Yeah.
The share didn't react. I think very much priced in. Everyone seems very bullish on the share at the moment. So, but still, really good news story, just showing that we were right about it. And then there's a big story worrying the investment world today. A couple of days ago, AB InBev said that they were going to pay an extra pound for SAB Miller shares with this takeover. And then yesterday we were told that SAB Miller has stopped the integration process with AB InBev. And this is on the back of shareholders complaining that they're not getting a fair price for their shares from AB InBev because the pound has fallen so much.
Wow. Could this scupper the whole deal? Because I've heard some people saying that, you know, the biggest deal in South Africa could go sour. The shareholders could all react very badly if something isn't done, blah, blah, blah.
Absolutely. And that's what we're all worried about. So you imagine when this deal was announced, the share was about 620 something rand a share.
Right.
It's now trading 840. If this deal is scuppered, guess what? The share is going to fall back to 600 rand, isn't it? So, yeah, we're worried, and I'm a shareholder, so of course I'm watching this one very carefully.
What was it? What was its highest watermark?
It went over 1,000 rand a share at one stage.
Wow, that puts it right up there, and I mean that's among the highest in the JSE.
For sure.
And then it could come back to 600 if something goes wrong with this.
Sure, because that's where it was trading when the deal was announced.
Wow.
Do you know what I'm thinking? And kind of, sorry, I'm kind of thinking on the spot here, but I might actually sell my shares and just take the profit today because the event risk is too huge.
Yeah. This is a no-brainer, right?
Just in case. That's what we're going to have to do today.
Just in case, because you could always buy back if they do go to 600, you just buy them cheap again.
Yeah, I think so.
All right. Well, there we go. You could take some profit out of that.
And then in the US last night, Facebook released results. They beat expectations.
Yeah.
This is incredible. For the quarter, Facebook made $2 billion in mobile ad revenue. I mean, only 6 months ago, they finally crossed the $1 billion mark. I mean, this is a huge milestone, doubling your profit in 6 months. Or sorry, not profit, revenue, my mistake.
Yes.
Revenue for the quarter.
Yeah.
Is huge. I mean, doubling revenue in 6 months, it's just something else. So the share was up about 6% in aftermarket trading last night. I think you'll see another big rally in that today.
All right, so Facebook also doing well. I mean, it's interesting that these companies that everybody was saying, oh, well, you know, we still don't know what the revenue model is. And with Facebook, it is a bit patchy. I mean, they've got all these users. They've got these ads that are served onto your Facebook page. There's obviously a lot of big data happening in the background. But for most people, it still isn't clear how Facebook are going to make their money out of advertising. They know it's going to be advertising, but they're not sure 100% how. And I don't think Facebook even know 100% how. Yet they manage to make these incredible revenues, and people are starting to warm to it.
Isn't it interesting, though, that Facebook and Twitter are completely the opposite, though?
Yeah.
So Facebook making so much in mobile ad revenue, while Twitter is very much, I think, a mobile platform as well, but not the same model. And then, of course, we've got, what was the other one we were talking about the other day, where they're changing, Pinterest, right?
Yes.
Where they're changing the model as well so that they should be able to make revenue off anything that you are able to click on and buy.
I think it would be an interesting piece of research if someone had to do a doctorate on this, if someone had to put together a thesis on why it is that Twitter advertising doesn't work and that model is not happening to the degree that Facebook is. I think it would be an interesting survey.
I do as well.
Yeah. And then
I've been looking for a topic, but that's not.
And you know what that means for what it means for Instagram, what it means for Pinterest, what it means for Snapchat. These would be interesting new developments.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks, Anthea.
My pleasure. Have a good day,
Anthea Gardner, and the Money Shot daily at the same time. There's lots to talk about today. Kerry, are you back?
Yes, I'm back. Morning, everyone.
Good. What's up, Kerry?
I wanted to say thanks to Ben for the updates on the Crack Olympics. Only reason I'm interested is because of his reports every morning. So well done. Hope that cheers you up to your full mouth today.
Thanks.
Thanks a lot. I wanted to let you guys know about an app one of our developers told me about. It's called Truecaller, and it helps you identify spam calls. You can actually trace any number that's dialed to your phone if you enable the app to see your contacts. It will tell you who the caller is, and then you can block them from future calls.
What's it called?
Truecaller.
Truecaller. T-R-U-E or T-R-U?
Yeah, T-R-U-E. And then you can block them, and then you won't get any more pesky calls from parties or from any other unsolicited calls.
Ah, Musi Maimane is on his way out.
And then another one is called Parachute, which is really great if you're ever in an emergency. We actually tested it the other night.
Yeah?
You just fire up the app and it immediately starts recording video and voice. And it will also send SMSs and actually phone any contacts that you load as your emergency contacts. I tested it with my husband the other night, and he got, as soon as I activated the app, he actually got a call, an automated call, to let him know that the app had been activated, which obviously means you're in an emergency situation.
Huh.
And it will store the video if you're not connected on this on your phone, and then upload when you get into Wi-Fi. And I actually got an email saying that the video is available for download, and they keep it for 24 hours. So, great. I was in an accident a couple of weeks ago, and that would have been fantastic because in a panic situation, it took me a while to get my phone out to take photos, and that would have been cool. And I needed to get my husband to meet me. So it would have been great to have just been able to hit one app.
All right. Well, that's very useful. Thank you, Kerry.
Okay.
You're full of helpful stuff for us today. Thank you very much. All right.
Sure.
Thanks, Kerry.
Thanks, guys. Bye.
Cool. Bye. There's Kerry. Useful, huh, Mubs?
Very useful. I hope that I'll be able to block those telemarketers as well.
Yes.
I can't tell you how many times people phone me to try and offer me like a new contract on a new phone, or they want me to switch to a different network. If I can block those people, that would be great.
Life would be good.
Yeah, they've got a great deal. It's like, yeah, but I've kind of on one. That's why I'm taking this call.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like, we'll give you a free router. A router's worth like $100. What are you really selling here?
Yeah, right, exactly. There's always a trick.
I don't need a router, but you'd need me to buy a huge contract. So it looks like I am the one losing here.
All right, everybody, let's calm down. Ben and Mubs very aggressive this
morning. Yeah, it's a violation, Gareth. It's a violation of our time.
Just one quick story before. By the way, Justice has made himself unavailable this morning, so he will be coming in tomorrow, hopefully, Flax. Justice, is he going to try and come in tomorrow? Please?
We can try. I'll speak to him.
We're going
to
do a pre-election special with him. All right, thank you very much. There we go. Okay, Flax is obviously so busy.
Yeah. It's too busy for you.
Okay. So justice is not in this morning, but don't let that put you off. We're going to talk about the Democratic National Convention. Lots of interesting things, including Meryl Streep's speech.
Uh-oh.
Yep, they're digging deep. They had Barack Obama speaking.
Okay.
They had Bill Clinton speaking.
All right.
And even Joe the Biden, who you normally don't allow to speak.
Gonjo, who did the Republicans have that one actor guy from
they
some
had
telenovela?
Antonio Sabato Jr.
Shemso.
Who's now Antonio Sabato Sr. And Donald Trump's children. That's it.
Okay. Right?
That's right. All they got.
Yeah, well, you know.
So not much on the Republican side in terms of famous people. And I think Alicia Keys even made a little appearance at the Democratic National Convention.
She spoke or she sang?
I don't know. Let's go to Skype, see who's on the line. Solomuzi, what's up?
Hey, Gareth, how are you doing, man?
Good, man. What's happening with you?
Good. I'm calling from Toronto. Hey, I'm a long-time listener and a first-time caller.
Thanks, dude. Nice to hear from you.
Sorry, man. My line is like a little bit bad, but well, yeah, I'm a long-time listener. I've been listening to you since you were at 5 a.m. Yeah. When I was like in grade 9 in Pretoria, but I live in Toronto now.
Yeah, you've got terrible internet. Canada is, of course, a third world country renowned for its horrible internet.
No, what it is I, like, cell phones are relatively expensive here, right?
Yeah.
So I use, like, one of the cheaper guys.
There he goes.
Sorry.
All right, sorry, Solomuzi. We're not going to be able to hear you now. You've got to improve the country you live in, please. Move, if you can, to America, because Canada is America light. And nobody wants to be in Canada. They actually want to be in America, but they can't afford to get into America.
Yeah, when Donald wins, the other way around.
Yeah. Don't you remember that South Park episode where they built the wall and all the Americans want to get into Canada?
Don't you worry about how Matt and Trey from South Park predicted the future?
It's very scary.
They predicted Donald Trump would run for president. They predicted a wall. They predicted all the liberals would move to Canada.
Yeah.
I mean, it's quite something. But I do have to say that there was a great ad by an estate agent somewhere in America, probably in Oregon or one of those, you know, liberal states. A big poster saying, with Trump and Hillary, and saying, "Want to move? Come to Canada with cheap houses for sale, blah, blah, blah."
Well,
very
there
clever.
Was like, "Moving to Canada, we will sell your house."
Right. That's the one. Sorry. Quite right. And so lots of people want to talk about the DNC, and we'll chat about that in a moment. And we'll take your calls, as we have been all morning. It's been a very busy morning on the lines.
Yes, it has. That's the way we like it.
Yeah, we love it.
Can I just say something?
Is it about Crooked Hillary?
No.
Oh, okay.
I've just sent you a song for Thug Week.
Oh, yes?
I've emailed it to you. Now, I suspect that Michael Flex might think that the biggest beef he's ever seen in hip-hop was between Drake and Meek Mill. But once upon a time, Flex, Tupac and Notorious B.I.G. beefed so badly that after Tupac was shot, he basically accused Biggie of being behind it. I mean, that's thug
Yo,
beefing right
Puff
there.
Puff Daddy was also involved. I think that was where the East Side versus the West Side came in.
Yes.
I think I watched a documentary on this.
Do you know the hand gestures for East and West Side?
Yeah, it's just one sideways and the other one's the
down.
Up. Yeah, like West Side, East Side. Yeah.
So this song is by Tupac, where he was basically giving a big F you to Biggie and a whole bunch of other people.
Right. Okay, let's do this. This is great. For Thug Week from Mabali Moloi.
That's why I fucked your bitch, you fat motherfucker. CliffCentral.com.